All right, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Natalia.
And this is Till Death Do Us Part. So this one is disgusting. You're going to love it. No.
let's hear it. I probably will.
All right, this is the story of the Guy family. So Thanksgiving weekend, 2016. Just like many families in America, the Guy family of Knoxville, Tennessee, weird, convened to have dinner together and spend time, be thankful for all they had. But 61-year-old Michael, the dad's name is Joel Michael Guy Sr. He was a pipeline engineer, and his 55-year-old wife, Lisa, worked as a human resources admin in the nearby town, Oak Ridge, Tennessee. So recently retired, Joel Sr., he and Lisa, they've been married for 31 years. Joel had 3 daughters from a previous marriage, and Joel Guy Jr. was born March 13th, 1988. His half-sisters would note that he was reclusive. He rarely left his room, but intellectually, he was competent. He was just like me, a hermit, which this is the last time I will ever compare myself to him. Their 28-year-old son, Joel Jr., attended Hanville High School, and he did graduate. Went to Louisiana School for Math, Science, and Arts, graduated in 2006. And despite his education, Joel never held down an actual paying job. He instead bounced from college to college. He didn't really have direction. He spent most of his life with his parents at their home on Golden View Lane. But he did spend a semester at George Washington University, but he dropped out. Then he went to Louisiana State. He wanted to be a plastic surgeon, but he withdrew in 2015. He just kind of had no sense of urgency in life. He just was kind of lazily living in his Baton Rouge apartment and was directionless. Didn't really have any aspirations, I guess you could say, of what to do. But, I mean, I also remember what it was like to be in my 20s. I'm not giving this as an excuse, but I didn't have my career until, like, later 20s, almost 30. So,
sure,
I get it, but I'm not giving him the benefit of the doubt, you know?
All right.
In 2016... it would be their last holiday in this family home because Joel Sr. and Lisa sold the home and Lisa was going to retire. They were both going to be moving into his late mother's mountain home about 90 miles away in Surgeonsville. The family looked forward to a Christmas reunion the next month. I looked up where this was on the map because I have friends that live in Nashville and I was like, have they ever heard of this place? Can they go visit it? Because I'm morbid. And it's actually like, it's just the northeast corner of the state. It's almost touching North Carolina. So who knew? 2016 would be the final time of the year that the family would be meeting. I'm sure, as you can imagine, it gave the occasion a little weight to it. Like, I think they lived at the home for 10 or 15 years, so they had a lot of memories there. They had grandkids, a lot of holidays together, so they knew it would be special. And to prove remarkable for completely different reasons also. The guy said goodbye to their daughters, who also lived in Tennessee. They planned to say goodbye to their son, Joel, before he was going to head home to Baton Rouge. I'm not sure if they did tell the daughters this, but even though he had been completely reliant on his parents' financial support, they did mention that they were planning to cut Joel off financially after this Thanksgiving get-together. It's not clear if Joel and Lisa ever got the opportunity to tell their son that they were no longer to support him financially, but that was
the plan. That was the plan.
Because they were going to continue their retirement years, which completely understandable. So Saturday, November 26th, with people, everyone, I guess everyone was kind of, you know, when you're sick of all the Thanksgiving leftovers, Lisa left the house because she was like, I'm going food shopping. She went to the local Walmart to pick up things for the rest of the holiday weekend. Joel Sr. was in his room on the second floor. It was a room as it was like a makeshift exercise room. It just had like free weights and elliptical. I'm sure he was just trying to burn off excess calories that came from, you know, pumpkin pie. But of course, we're inferring here. But what is clear, this whole weekend is going to be cut short, because that is when Joel Jr. came into the exercise room holding a knife. And we can only assume his dad's terror as his son lunged at him, thrusting the blade in and out of his chest. And even though we don't know Joel's last words, I'm sure he was shocked, and he could only assume, or we can only assume that they were, why? But once his father was dead, this is where it's going to start getting kind of morbid. Joel Jr. cut the clothes off the lifeless body and arranged them in a pile nearby. When he was done, he simply walked downstairs, sat in the TV room, and waited for his mom, Lisa, to come home. When Lisa walked through the front door about an hour later, she had no idea what happened upstairs. She called out to her husband and then Joel Jr., but no one responded. He was no longer in the TV room. I'm trying to scroll, but it won't let me scroll.
Damn it.
So she called out to her husband, but she heard no sound from upstairs. It actually seemed like both father and son had departed the residence for some reason, but both of their cars were still in the driveway. Confused, but not alarmed, Lisa started to walk upstairs to see if her husband had finished working out. This would be the last thing she would ever do. That's when Joel stabbed her so deeply into her rib cage that it actually severed several bones. He then stabbed her again and again until his mother just laid on the carpet, blood pooling from all of her wounds. He did the same thing. He cut the clothes from his mother's body and placed Lisa next to his father in the exercise room. It is then that Joel began the extensive mutilation of his own parents. He took the blade and started to remove his father's hands at the wrist and toss them into the pile of shredded clothes. He then attempted to decapitate his mother, but according to the coroner's report, this was done in such a particular horrifying way because the knives that Joel Jr. was using weren't good enough for cutting bones. So he actually attempted to cut through the neck, but he had to tear it off with force. Yeah.
Damn.
Yep. Joel then picked up the severed head, brought it down to the kitchen, and began to boil it in a large pot of water. He went then back upstairs to continue the dismemberment. He cut off his parents' limbs and placed them in a series of large chemical drums that he filled with industrial strength cleaning chemicals. But before he did this, he knew to partially disembowel each of his parents to allow the corrosive chemicals into their abdominal cavities and aid in the rate of decomposition. It's here when we kind of realize that this is obviously not a spur of the moment crime of passion. Joel had been doing a great deal of research on how to effectively dispose of dead bodies. And given he had gathered the materials to do so, it seems he's been planning this for quite a long time. So as much as Joel had taken time to research this endeavor, if you could call it that, he would make just one single error. During the attack of his father, Joel's hand slipped on the blade, resulting in a really deep cut on his left thumb. So around 3:30 p.m. on the day of the murder, Joel was spotted within the first aid section at the same Walmart his mom was at earlier, buying a variety of medical supplies, like peroxide and alcohol, which he presumably was also used to hide the evidence of his crimes. The following day, Joel went back to his home in Baton Rouge, visiting a student medical clinic to have his wound examined. Both of these trips would ultimately be used against him in the court. It seems that no matter how much research and planning that Joel Jr. did, he was just not a perfect murderer. Which I'm going to send you a link, and it has all these images that I'm talking about, if you want to look. I mean,
yeah.
Okay. All right. So while you're looking at that, I'll continue with the story. So a few days later, after Lisa was killed, she had failed up for her shift at Jacobs Engineering. Her supervisor recognized this as extremely out of character when she wasn't able to contact her at home, and she called 911 to report her missing right away. The reason why the supervisor just went ahead and called 911, because I was like, that's kind of like a drastic jump to just all of a sudden call the police, but apparently this was supposed to be her last day of work, and they were planning an entire retirement party, so there's no reason why Lisa would just not show up for her own party. Like, something's obviously wrong. That kind of explains it a little bit. Not long after the call was made, the Knoxville officers pulled up to the home. And at first glance, it just seemed that the home was deserted because the for sale sign in on the front lawn, it said sold. All the lights were off. And there was no real estate lock on the door. So at first glance, officers are like, oh, well, they moved. But their curiosity peaked when they went to the back door of the home and they discovered that the door handle had been removed and someone had taken the front door handle and the back door handle and like switched them in an attempt to like either make it impossible to enter or I don't know what the line of thinking was there. But that's when the cops were like, okay, something's weird. So they started to peer through the windows and they noticed that the glass, it should have been chilled to the touch because it's almost December, but it was actually warm. And it was so hot and humid in the family home that if anyone was inside, it would be uncomfortable because of the condensation. Looking inside from the front door, they could see groceries like ice cream, sausage, bacon sitting on the floor of the foyer. So that's when the police knew, okay, someone should be home. No one would leave like ice cream in the middle of the floor. An officer opened one of the guys' cars that was in the driveway. They pressed the garage door opener, and that's what gave them access inside the house. The first thing officers saw while gaining entry into the home is that the thermostat was set to 90 degrees. Lisa and Joel's wallets and a sledgehammer, some firearms, were all laid out on the kitchen table. They also noticed upon entering that something was gently simmering on the stove, and upon approaching it, they discovered it was Lisa Guy's head, bloated and swollen from having spent 2 days in the pot. The officers proceeded to ascend the stairway, where they started to hear a dog barking. I hate this part. They found the dog locked in a bedroom. And looking down the hallway, they could see blood spattered on the walls and discovered Joel Sr.'s dismembered hands on the floor with large spots of blood on the rug. Further search revealed corpses filled with the chemical drums in the upstairs bathroom. Investigators also found sewer line cleaner, a bag of baking soda, liquid fire brand drain cleaner, muriatic acid drain opener, lye, food grade hydrogen peroxide, bleach sprayer, all of which are chemical cocktails which were eating away at their remains.
Yeah.
Investigators also found a note in a suitcase depicting the name of a Louisiana address, an Ace Hardware store, with a notation about sewer line cleaner. So they're finding this out as it's happening, as everything's unfolding. They're figuring things out. It was so bad inside the house that they had to have biohazard equipment for removal from a hazmat team. And due to the volume of evidence in such a disturbing way, the forensic unit had to work, I think it was 2 nights and 3 days, just processing the crime scene. And some said it was the most horrifying crime scene that they've ever came across in their careers or that have ever gotten any sort of media attention whatsoever. So naturally, law enforcement sought to close this case as quickly as possible.
I mean, it looks like they had a lot of evidence.
They did. So,
this guy thought he was smart, but he really wasn't.
No. So they discovered that the killer was most likely the couple's own son. Over the days that followed, the FBI, the sheriff's office, and the Baton Rouge sheriff's office placed Joel under surveillance. They saw that he did go to several stores, and they were able to identify Joel purchasing the supplies that he used to murder and dispose of his parents. He used cash for every transaction and stuck to self-checkouts to avoid any memorable interactions with staff members. So the earliest that he could have begun this process was November 7th, proving premeditation by at least 2 weeks.
Dead to rights. You're done, dude.
Yeah. So in his notebook, the link I sent you, they found Joel Jr.'s notebook. So obviously he did get arrested, but in his notebook, I can't read his writing, but some of the statements were like, get carving knives, get killing knives, sledgehammer to crush bones.
Yeah, I can read some of it. It's definitely like chicken scratch, but years of reading doctor's handwriting has prepared me for this. So this is really disturbing. I think one of the most disturbing sentences is flush chunks down toilet.
Yeah. One was a list where he had to get hollow point bullets. Then he crosses it out. And then says, just use computer room gun and make sure bullets are there as a last resort. He also puts, like,
place him in plastic bin.
Yeah.
Cut off his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Place his flesh under her fingernails. It's really just, he writes it all out. It's awesome. It's just awful. A turn heaters up to 90 to melt fingerprints.
Yeah. So the part that I think is also just as disturbing is the page where he goes, dad is not alive to claim her half of insurance. This means money is all mine. $500,000.
Yeah.
So that was his motive, is the money. He then also detailed all the assets that his parents had, like the house, the home that they're moving to, a boat, a truck. He then
the SUV All of it.
Oh, and then the whole part about the dog, he was like, kill dog. Then he crossed it out and then replaced it with take dog with you. Like, what the? Leave the dog out of it, bro.
My God, I didn't see that. That's terrible.
But all of his writings, obviously, they show his malicious greed of an unappreciative child who would rather kill parents rather than just get a fucking job. Still with a mountain of evidence Joel Jr. had against him, he had the audacity to plead not guilty in the murder of his own parents. He also filed a motion with his lawyer that if convicted, he wanted the death penalty right away. He also prevented his defense counsels from showing any evidence that would show in support of his behalf, which I don't know how they could. The beginning to the end of the trial lasted only 4 days, which I guess is very unusual for a multiple murder trial. And despite his wish to be convicted, the judge refused and withdrew the death penalty, assuring him a more fitting punishment would be forcing him to live with the guilt that he had done. Good, because he's a spoiled brat who can't just get what he wants.
Yeah.
The judge even said that he thinks he's smarter than he actually is. He committed a very unintelligent murder in the worst way possible. He will not be eligible for release for 130 years. However, sentencing did also say that 300 years isn't enough time to reasonably relate to what Guy Jr. did. And just to wrap it all up with a bow, they were able to read victim impact statements. Lisa's brother, Alvin, told, I guess, some of the information to the grandmother, and she collapsed upon hearing the news about how her daughter was murdered. And she had been taken to the hospital where she later died. She died of, like, a broken heart. I thought that was so sad. Which I'm like, they should convict Joel Jr. on that murder too, because that's his fault.
Oh my God, that's so sad.
Lisa and Joel, they left behind daughters, grandchildren, all that loved him. The daughters, Tina, Angela, and Michelle, remember their dad fondly sharing stories, which only show how much the couple will truly be missed and taken too soon. Joel Michael Guy Jr. is serving his life sentence at, I guess, Northwest Correctional Complex in Tiptonville, Tennessee. He will not be eligible for parole until January 21, 36.
Yeah, you're not getting out.
Yeah.
No. What a psychopath. Holy fuck.
Did you happen to see the picture of him?
Yes. Now, he looks very different when he arrested.
Yeah.
When he was arrested, he looks crazier than he did at trial. They obviously cleaned him up for the trial.
Mm-hmm.
Just, obviously, it was more, I think it's more than just the money.
Yeah.
He obviously, something was very, very wrong with him. There's a lot of really deep-seated anger, the way that he killed them. And he showed no remorse. Like, you could see he's got, like, this very flat affect.
Yeah.
Like, he's not sorry at all. Uh-huh. He's not even trying to be sorry.
No. It's disturbing. And the fact that, I don't know.
Like, there's a lot of ways that you can get rid of people to get money. All right?
It seems like he chose.
You didn't have to do it like this. I mean,
it was very complicated.
It was very messy. Very, very messy.
Yes.
And unnecessarily gruesome. And if you're going to go to all these lengths, like, oh, I'm only going to pay cash at self-checkout so I don't have to have human interaction, but you can't buy the proper knives to cut through. I can't. You put your mother's head in a pot?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Right? And so I didn't put this in there, but it showed, like, all the stores he went to. He went to, like, Academy Sports to buy this knife. And I think he just saw a knife that was, like, military knife, that means nothing. Like, that doesn't mean it's like a better knife at all.
I really no. You got sucked in by marketing. You exactly. Idiot. I can't. You couldn't have just done like a car accident or something. You couldn't. What an idiot! It's just a sick person. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, I
have no words other than if you are looking to have children, don't do it. They'll just take all your money and leave you.
Put your head in a pot.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, look, I had to take my kid today to go to the salon. She's gonna have her first like big dance. Mm-hmm. And besides all of the absolute headache that it is shopping for a dress, let me tell you, she wants extensions in her hair. Holy God.
Really?
It's like, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to have to take out a second mortgage.
Girls are expensive, but we have lots to maintain.
Holy. So, I mean, all kinds of reasons not to have kids. The people I know who have the most money don't have children.
Right?
So.
Oh my God. So I texted you this yesterday, but it was the whole thing where we should do a TikTok of the things that will send a Civil War soldier into a coma. And one of them, I was starting to do it with Josh, and one of them was like dual income homes with no children.
Wow. I mean,
yeah. But
that's gonna hurt them. They're gonna be feeling some type of way.
Yeah. I can't remember all the other ones we thought of, but they were like kale chips and like like a juice cleanse or TRICARE. Josh said like CVS pharmacy would send them into a coma.
Wow. Yeah, for sure.
But so is your daughter, is she going to, is it like a winter dance or what is it?
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's like the winter formal or whatever.
What? So short hair is so cute. Like that's, I want to get my hair done in like shoulder length. So I don't have long hair anymore because it's bugging me.
This is the thing. All right. When she was little, she went through like 3 or 4 years, okay, from the time she was maybe 18 months until she was maybe like 4 years old. The girl refused to wear pants, all right? If she wore pants, she had to wear a tutu over it, okay? We were in full girly mode.
Yeah.
Everything was pink. Everything was a dress. Everything was princess themed. It was just all girl mode.
Okay.
Then it was nothing girly. Oh. Everything had to be blue and green. It was the short hair. It was tomboy mode.
Yeah.
We did that for a very long time. It was the last few years, it was all about big sweatshirts, sweatpants. Didn't care about anything with shopping. Had nothing to do with fashion. All of a sudden, coming to me, I want a dress. I want long hair. I don't want the wild colors in my hair anymore. She doesn't have the red highlights.
Really?
She dyed her hair. Yep. She was like, I want my hair all one color.
Wow.
I want my hair long. She sent me these links for like these very, you know, girly dresses. And I'm like, what is happening here? Every time I put my money into one, you know.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm just turning one way, it goes the other. I can't. So
is it
the lesson is the minute you think you know your kids, you don't. You don't.
That's true. Joel Guy Jr.
Can't. Sleep with one eye open. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
So you have to, get her those extensions now.
Oh, we did. We went for the consult today.
Oh, gosh. Is she doing this because she's got, like, boyfriends that she's looking good for?
Oh, no. No, she broke up with her boyfriend weeks ago. And let me tell you.
Oh, good for her.
This girl is super healthy.
Nice.
She's telling me the other day that they're like hanging out in gym class after they broke up. I'm like, do you want to talk about it? Should I get some ice cream? Do you want to cuddle? She's like, no.
Aww.
I'm fine.
Okay.
She's totally doesn't care. Me at 12, my heart was broken. I wanted to cry about it. But she's a Sagittarius. She doesn't give a fuck.
That's amazing. I remember my boyfriend when I was 12 and we broke up like over the phone because he wouldn't hang out with me enough. And he now is gay. So that was my fault.
I had a similar breakup. I was 12 and my first like quote unquote boyfriend, even though you can't like do anything at 12 years old, we broke up because he wouldn't sit next to me in the cafeteria. And it made me very upset that he wouldn't walk me home after the bus dropped us off in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so we broke up. And then he immediately started dating the second chair violin, my friend Laura. Wow. And it was devastating to me. Devastating. Scandal. Absolutely. And I was very upset. But no, my daughter doesn't give a shit. She's like, just wants to look nice for herself. Super healthy.
That's awesome.
God bless the younger generations. I know.
I love that.
I know.
I would have emotional damage.
We're so messed up.
I know.
And on that note, let us think about whether or not listeners, we want to have children. Think about your bank accounts.
True. Think about your freedom to go do.
But also, when I'm old, I do have, multiple chances. One of them might take care of me.
That is the thing. Like, I need to start making some adult decisions or I'm going to need to teach Goggles to dial 911. So.
Yes. So, there's that.
There's that. Very good.
But I hope you have a lovely evening.
You too. I'm sorry to leave you with that horrible story, but you enjoy.
It's fabulous. For Murderino, that is quite the story. I've enjoyed both of them. They were wonderful.
Excellent. All right. Well, you have an amazing night, and I will talk to you later.
Okay.
Right, bye.
Hey everyone, I wanted to jump on here real quick and let everyone know how they can get a hold of us. Of course, we are on all social media channels. We're on TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you want to send us a message, tilldeathdouspartpodcast@gmail.com. And we're much more active on Instagram, tilldeathdouspartpodcast. If you have sent us a message and we haven't either responded or heard back from us, do not feel bad. It is not your fault. It is definitely, it's Natalia's fault. And with that being said, follow, subscribe, review, share, all those fun things. See you later.